Am I on now? Oh, yeah. I can even hear me. I wanted to take a look at just a couple of things tonight very quickly to give you to think about related to singing and music for us as a church, for the church, really, not just for us. I'm assuming music, I'm assuming some sort of singing, I should say. I'm assuming singing as a norm. I'm not going to support that tonight. It's all over the place in Scripture. It's just natural. It happens. It happened after they crossed the Red Sea. They had special singers and everything related to the temple. Jesus and the disciples sang a hymn before they went out to the Mount Olives. It's there. I believe we're created to sing. I wouldn't mind if I was created better at it, but regardless, we're just created to sing. So when it comes to the church gathering and the singing or the music, what should we concern ourselves with? As most of you probably know, churches have divided and split over style. What style of music? Because everyone has their preference. And some people try to really, really support one style over another, and they try to go there in Scripture. I'm not there. I think you're hard-pressed on that. I mean, they had tambourines, and they were really loud and stuff back in the Old Testament. It talks about shouting, and all the people sounded like... I mean, you know, it's all over the place in Scripture, so to speak. They didn't have electric guitars because they didn't have electricity. But, you know, they had different instruments. And do you go ahead to another country, another culture, and impose your style and your instruments on them? Not if it's not in the Word. I don't see style as the concern for the church's singing. Though it may be affected by some of the things we look at here tonight, there's bigger issues to first concern ourselves with. And the first come up in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And in 14. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I'm going to pick up in verse 13 and read through verse 17. And Paul was writing to the Corinthians. They had some questions. They also had some errors he was dealing with in this letter. And one of the areas that they had problems with, that they had to be set straight on, had to do with worship when they came together as a church. And in verse 13 he says, "Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret." So I'm not going to deal with the whole charismatic issue tonight, but this is a good passage to go to. Someone going to speak in tongues in a group, there better be an interpreter. Otherwise, go home. Do it there. But he says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up." Three things here that would guide us in how we're to sing when we come together. You can sing however you want when you're by yourself. You speak in tongues, go ahead. You know, whatever you want to do by yourself. But as you come together as a group, verse 17, the goal was building up. That's the third thing. The first two things are you're to pray or sing. In this case, we're looking at singing with your spirit, but also with your mind. So the spirit is to be involved. Now, what does that mean? What does spirit mean? Well, the Scripture says my spirit versus the Holy Spirit. It's talking about the inner man, or that mental disposition and attitude of a person. That kind of the essence of who the person is. Soul sometimes is used in place of spirit, but we're talking about an attitude that involves values and affections. What you value or desire or appreciate. And we get this because we use that word all the time, like, oh, there wasn't a good spirit there today, or, you know, he didn't have a spirit of whatever. We use the phrase that way, and that's what we're referring to. So there's this issue of sort of attitude and the inner self. And there is to be an expression in singing that involves our attitude, our values that we hold dear, and that's expressed, but not without the mind. Also there is the mind. Not just in praying, not just the issue of speaking in tongues, he brings in singing also. But I will sing with my mind also. Singing is to engage our minds. Our minds are to be engaged when we sing. So that what is sung is to make sense, that those who hear it can agree or disagree, and that those who hear it can be built up. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen? And he went from praying to singing, so it's related there. If you sing only with your spirit, how can anyone else say amen? How can anyone else say they agree when he does not know what you're singing? So it needs to be understandable. I think churches should divide over what they sing. But not style, content. Is the content of what is being sung, does it engage the mind? Does it make sense? And is it true? That's what matters. Now you might ask, what about emotion? Where's emotion come into play here? I don't see anywhere in Scripture that our singing is supposed to evoke emotion. Singing, however, does express emotion. But if emotion is to be brought up or evoked, it is to be through what is understood that the mind can relate to. Right? How can anyone say, amen? Oh man, that's exactly true, right? Unless what? Unless they can understand it and they agree with it. So we get off on music wanting to evoke our emotion and set the mood. Well, I think that from what we're reading here about spirit and mind, that there's a tone, so to speak, of certain songs and such. It needs to be in line with the truth expressed in the song. A song about praising and thanking God, you're going to sing it like a funeral dirge? Praise and thanks to God, for He has saved us, and we have no need and no... No! But some songs may be a little bit more minor key and sullen than others. That's fine, that's one thing. You're also not going to be screaming your head off in whatever kind of emotional state if no one understands what you're saying. There's problems there. But again, the issue gets back to, is the spirit and the mind both engaged? And right away, that makes me think of what Jesus said in John 4:23 to the woman at the well. That the Father has worshipers who are going to worship in what? Spirit and in truth. See? Truth is perceived by the mind. And if we hold to it, if we agree with it, it sort of resonates with our spirit. So our attitudes are to be expressed in our singing by all means, but our minds are to be engaged also. What we sing needs to make sense and needs to build others up. One more passage. Yeah, sing with passion too. One more passage is in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. It picks up on that whole building up thing from the 1 Corinthians passage. It says, look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's interesting here, you have the Spirit right there in verse 18 before the issue of addressing And who are you addressing here in verse 18 with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? Who are you singing to but one another? And if one another's are going to understand it, it's got to make sense to the mind. It's got to be clear and edifying. And yet you're making melody to the Lord with your heart. I believe what you have going on here in his use of heart is just another way of saying what he said in the last passage about spirit. But the mind is engaged. The spirit here is the Holy Spirit, and heart here refers to our spirit. That's why you have a heart here versus your spirit. It gets kind of confusing with the spirit in verse 18. But the Holy Spirit is to be involved. As we address one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. So ultimately it's to the Lord, verse 20, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to be the focus. But notice that part of singing is singing to one another. Back in the Corinthians passage, if it doesn't make sense, if I can't understand it with my mind, how is it going to build up? That's why, part of why we sing is to build one another up. To speak the truth in a melodic way, picking up melodic from the word melody in verse 19, speaking the truth, but actually singing it in a melodic way to one another, but ultimately to the Lord. So yes, we are to praise the Lord, acknowledge who He is, give thanks to Him. At the same time, the dual purpose there is that we're singing to one another. So the singing of the church when you come together absolutely matters. And it is worth debating and fighting over, but not style. Content. And the spirit, if you will, in which you go about doing it. And, you know, the two extremes. You got a church that always sounds like they're singing a funeral dirge. Everything sounds glum and dreary, even though you're singing praise. On the other end of the spectrum, maybe it's always electric guitar at the top notch, screaming away, and everyone's yelling, and maybe you can't even understand what's going on because people are screaming, and it even sounds a little bit like anger to some people. That's not beneficial. That's not help. Neither of those are helpful. And verse 21 says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. I find that interesting that in our singing we're to address one another and submit to one another. I find it interesting because usually when people start talking about the music and the singing of a particular church or even your own church, it usually goes to the issue of personal preference. And the concern is what I like, what I appreciate. And it's not that that doesn't matter, but as we see here in Scripture, our greater concern should be that there is truth there, that the mind can understand that those who I'm singing to, though ultimately to the Lord, are built up, are encouraged. Now, I definitely have styles of music that I don't particularly appreciate, but I would rather worship in song with those styles if what is being sung can be sung in spirit and in truth and is going to edify and bless those around, ultimately exalting Christ, giving thanks to the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the concern. We can discuss and we can do a give and take and deal with our own personal preferences with others, but like all things in the Christian life, our concern should be, how is this going to benefit others? As it ultimately focuses on the Lord. And that just gets to our continual problem, our challenge. Our focus is naturally upon ourselves. What hurts, what feels good, what we like, what we don't like. And that would all melt away if we were consumed with what pleases the Lord and blesses others. We might find a sweetness in things, even styles of music, that we don't necessarily appreciate ourselves. So I think we should be critical of what we sing. But not for style. Not first and foremost, for sure, for style. But as far as content, our minds engaged, is it understandable? A song doesn't do me any good if I can't understand what's being sung. It doesn't do you any good if you can't understand what's being sung. I guess that means I should have been off mute, huh? Right? You got to be able to understand it. So that you can sing wholeheartedly in spirit and truth, saying amen, agreeing with it, spurring one another on, because you're singing to one another and to the Lord at the same time. I've got less songs to choose from these days when I want to lead in singing. Because, well, I don't have a lot to choose from to begin with. I'm not that talented, and that's not a joke. I'm not. I came late to the whole music thing. But of the ones that I even know, I look at them nowadays and I go, what's it saying? What's the point? Is that even worth expending my calluses on this week practicing that? No, I don't think it is. I might do it on my own because it's fun, but is it really worth it for others? And there are some songs I get to, I really like that one. It's fun playing it. And I re-look at it and go, huh, that's a bummer. I can play that one better than others, but I'm not sure it's worth it. I'm not sure it's worth it. Because others are to be in view. Our mind is to be engaged. That means that we must be singing truth so that ultimately it's done giving thanks to the Father in the name of Christ. Just a couple things I wanted to quickly drop in your ear as you were naturally critical of the singing and the music as we come together. But I wanted to challenge you to be critical in a different way. Not have the first question be whether or not you like it, but focus more on, is this truth engaging the mind and exalting Christ? Is this building others up? Join me in prayer. Father in heaven, it's interesting. I don't know how you have made us to sing. And there's a singing going on all over the place in Scripture. It's even going on in heaven. Singing Moses' song, Revelation. There's singing here and now, and apparently singing in eternity. And there's a power, so to speak, in song. The words get stuck in our minds, in our heads, as we say. Start to affect what we think and hold true. Father, have mercy upon us here. Help us here to sing songs that honor you, that exalt Christ, that make sense, that are truth, and that build others up. And if you're willing, help us to sing well. But first and foremost, help us to sing what is going to please you and benefit others. And I pray, Father, that you would continue to rise up Christians to come up with new songs, new tunes to songs. Think of the Sovereign Grace Group and Indelible Grace or something like that, or two different groups and some of the stuff they're coming out with. Thank you, Father. Thank you for them. Guard them, guide them, lead them in truth. Bless their endeavors that not just this local church, but your church would have truth to sing. In Jesus' name, amen.